Response to the questions of Narada Rishi, the great sage Narada Muni, to his father Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma replies, and remember that this conversation between Lord Brahma and Narada Muni is being told by Sukadev Goswami. He's speaking that to Maharaj Prickett, and Suta Goswami is repeating that conversation to the sages of Namasharanya. And that same conversation is being repeated in writing by Srila Vyasadeva, and Srila Prabhupada is translating it, and we are reading it.
Yeah.
And we are hearing. So, in the beginning of this chapter, or rather the fifth chapter, Narada Muni began by asking questions to Narada. And these questions mostly have been answered, and they will continue being answered. And in chapter 5, text 2, Narada Muni said, "My dear father, please describe factually, in truth, the symptoms of this manifest world. What is this world? We see it, we taste it, we touch it, but what is it? And we are part of it. What is it? What is its background? What is supporting it? Because everything in existence is supported by something else. We are not supporting ourselves. We are dependent. We are not independent. Now, what is it then that is supporting this material world? Or is it independent? No. Something is supporting it. What is that? How is it created? How is it conserved? How is it maintained? Because everything takes not only creation. Creation we get into with passion. But maintaining something is far more difficult. That takes goodness to maintain something. And to destroy something, that's the easiest thing. All it takes is some ignorance. It's easy to destroy, create a revolution, knock it down. So what is the background of the material world? What is supporting it? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is all this being done? And then Brahma, or Narada rather, asked, "Please tell me, are you that supreme? Because I see you engaging in the creation. But yet, what confuses me is that I see you performing austerities to please another. So if you're doing something to please another, that means there is another who, by his pleasure, is empowering you to do the creation. So please dispel this doubt I have about who is actually the Supreme." So Brahma clearly described how he himself was not the Supreme. Actually, Krishna or Vishnu is the Supreme. And he said, Brahma himself says, that I create in a secondary fashion. I create in the same way I create after the Lord has created it. I am the secondary creator. Everything is created in a primary fashion by Krishna, just like a Newton's law of physics. Newton was sitting there and he saw an apple fall from a tree, and by virtue of that he discovered the law of gravity. But we notice that the law of gravity wasn't lost, nor was it, had it stopped working before Newton perceived it, because the apples had been falling out of trees for so long. So he noticed it, and they named it Newton's. What is it? They named the something, Newton's law or something like that. That mass and mass is a proportion of the attraction between two objects, mass times something, velocity or something. So, but it wasn't Newton's law. It's Krishna's law. Because he's the one making it work. It's not Newton who makes all the apples fall from the trees. It is Krishna. That is his law. So in the same way, Brahma creates that which has already been created by Krishna. He sees what Krishna wants him to do and he's empowered to manifest that. So he explains that to Narada. And then he explains, after explaining the glories of Krishna, he begins to describe how the creation is manifest. And we heard about that for the last 2 days, and how from the Mahatattva from the Mahatattva directly comes false ego manifest from the Mahatattva is a false identity. The living entity falsely identifies. That false ego, that false sense of identity is first created, and that allows the living entity to identify with that which he is not. And what is he not? He is not this. He is not the body. He is eternal. At one time we had little baby bodies. And then now we are older and we cry in different ways maybe, but we still cry, but we don't let anyone hear our crying. But our body has changed completely. If you see a picture of Burijan Das as a little toddler crying baby, you'll say, oh, you've changed. Certainly you'll say that. But I am still the same person. The same. There's a continuity of identity. Komaram Jovanam Jara. From youth, boyhood, youth to old age, there's a continuity of identity. I am still the same person. My mind has changed, my intelligence has changed, my body changes. But I, the person, the identity, the consciousness, is the same. But yet, one... So there's so many changes of bodies, and dhiras tatranam uyate, when the body drops, the soul continues and changes its body again into another body, reincarnation. And but yet, when we're asked, who are you? Who are you? We have so many identities, false identities, nothing to do with our eternal identity. I think I'm an American, I think I am male, I'm 51 years old, I think this, I think that. But these don't. How many people, when you ask, who are you? They answer, I'm an eternal soul, Krishna's servant, servant of God. That's who I am. So any other identity that we conceive of ourselves, other than being a servant of God, that is called false identity, false ego. So that is the first thing that is created in the material world, the ability to have a false identity. And that is that, and that combines with the goodness, passion, ignorance, then gradually the rest of the universe is created. All the elements are created and they are assembled first within the universe in a subtle way, through the universal form, the Virata Rupa. And we heard about that. And that Virata Rupa provides the consciousness for the living entities. So, once that Virata Rupa is manifest, and Lord Brahma is manifest, the primal first person within the universe, so he begins to perform a sacrifice, and that's what we're going to be hearing about. The universal form is manifest, and that universal form is manifest from the Supreme Lord, the Purusha, the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and everything that is going to be in existence will be situated on that universal form. Everything that will be in existence within the universe will have its place on the universal form, and nothing exists that doesn't have a relationship to the universal form. And the universal form is like a material body of the Lord. It's compared to, like, because the Lord himself, he has a completely spiritual body. But as we ourselves are souls, and as the material body is dependent upon the soul, similarly the universe and the universal form is dependent upon the Lord. So when Lord Brahma, he begins to try to understand, his first impetus is one of sacrifice, to perform sacrifice. Now, what is sacrifice? So he says in the 23rd text, when I was born from the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord, Mahavishnu, that great person, actually Bhavadakshaya Vishnu, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performances except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. So after performing austerities, which we'll hear about later in the chapter, Lord Brahma desired to perform sacrifice. What does sacrifice mean? Sacrifice means, Prabhupada will explain it in a slightly different way later on in the purports, sacrifice means to make an offering, to surrender, to give up for the sake of something else. And although human beings don't like to think of it in this way, the purpose of life is sacrifice. Giving up, surrendering, offering something to someone else. And we can see this continuously. No one is happy just being selfish. People are happy when they're making sacrifice for others, for family members, for their parents, for their children. But mere selfishness does not bring happiness to anyone. So the question is, what is the best kind of sacrifice? And ultimately, human life is meant for sacrificing for the pleasure of Krishna as his servant. We are meant to be making offerings to, giving up to, surrendering to Krishna, God. So this is the natural consciousness of the soul. He wants to give. But we've been caught by false ego and maya, thinking that what will make me happy is taking. And therefore everyone in the world is trying to take, take, take. Get as much as possible. Looking after themselves. But being completely unsatisfied. Because there is no sacrifice, there is no giving to another, especially there is no giving to the Lord. That means there is no love. So this impetus to give to another, to serve God, to serve Krishna, is natural within the soul. So Lord Brahma had this impetus. So as one comment of one of the great commentators on the Bhagavatam, Srila Srila Swami, he said that text 23 through 27 should be read together. So we'll read them together. And they have to do with Lord Brahma and sacrifice, and his trying to make a sacrifice. But before we read that, we're going to read a little of Prabhupada's purport. Lord Brahma, the creator of the cosmic manifestation, is known as Swayambhu, or one who is born without father or mother. The general process is that a living creature is born out of the sex combination of the male father and the female mother. But Brahma, the firstborn living being, is born out of the abdominal lotus flower of the Mahavishnu plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The abdominal lotus flower, a lotus grows from the navel of the expansion of Mahavishnu, called Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. The abdominal lotus flower is part of the Lord's bodily limbs, and Brahma is born out of that lotus flower, out of the lotus flower. Therefore, Lord Brahma is also a part of the Lord's body. Brahma, after his appearance in the gigantic hollow of the universe, saw darkness and nothing else. Now, this is going to be described in great detail in the 9th chapter of this canto. He felt perplexity. And from his heart, he was inspired by the Lord to undergo austerity, tapa, thereby acquiring the ingredients for sacrificial performances. But there was nothing beside the two of them, namely the personality of Mahavishnu and Brahma himself, born of the bodily parts of the Lord. For sacrificial performances, many ingredients were needed, especially animals. Thus Brahma created even the sacrificial ingredients. This is skipping a little. Continuing in the purport. Thus Brahma created even the sacrificial ingredients, but there was only the Lord and the Brahma existing. So how did he create the sacrificial ingredients? Out of the bodily limbs of the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, meaning out of the universal form, which means that the cosmic order was created by Brahma himself. Also, nothing is created out of nothing, but everything is created from the person of the Lord. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Savasya Prabhavo Matak Savam Pravartate. Everything is made from my bodily limbs, and I am therefore the original source of all creation. And a little further down. Worship of the Lord is also performed by the ingredients born from the bodily limbs of the Lord. So this is the point that practically we're coming to, that everything has a connection with Krishna. Now how, therefore, can we make any offerings to God? Our natural consciousness, we are naturally impelled to serve Krishna. But there is nothing but God in existence. Yet he is a person, a supreme person. But everything in existence is his energy. So therefore, how can we give him anything, because everything is already his? So Prabhupada explains, worship of the Lord is also performed by the ingredients born from the bodily limbs of the Lord. And yet the worshipper, who is himself a part of the Lord, achieves the result of devotional service to the Lord. Just by offering Krishna what is already Krishna's, that is called devotional service. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchyate. While the impersonalists wrongly conclude that he is the Lord himself, the personalist, out of great gratitude, worships the Lord in devotional service, knowing perfectly well that nothing is different from the Lord. Because nothing is different or separate from Krishna, therefore everything should be used in Krishna's service. Nothing is rejected. The devotee therefore endeavors to apply everything in the service of the Lord, because he knows that everything is the property of the Lord, and that no one can claim anything as one's own. And that is what sacrifice is. Using everything in the service of the Lord and not claiming this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, knowing fully well that everything belongs to Krishna and using therefore everything in his service. This perfect conception of oneness helps the worshipper in being engaged in his, Krishna's, loving service, whereas the impersonalist, being falsely puffed up, remains a non-devotee forever without being recognized by the Lord. So here are those verses. Brahma says, when I was born out of the abdominal lotus flower of the Lord, Mahavishnu, the great person, I had no ingredients for sacrificial performances except the bodily limbs of the great personality of Godhead. For performing sacrificial ceremonies, one requires sacrificial ingredients, such as flowers, leaves, and kusha straw, kusha, along with a sacrificial altar and a suitable time, which is spring. Other requirements are utensils, grains, ghee, clarified butter, honey, gold, earth, water, the Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, the Sama Veda, and the four priests to perform the sacrifice. Prabhupada, in his purport to that verse, explains that in this age, in the next, his next purport explains, later on he explains the same thing, that in this age, although Brahma could perform very elaborate and intricate sacrifices, the sacrifice that we perform is the chanting of Krishna's names, and that is also a sacrifice. Krishna, we offer Krishna's names to Krishna, practically speaking. We glorify Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna for whose pleasure? For Krishna's pleasure, glorifying Him. And who feels happy by that? We feel happy. In the same way that when the hand supplies food into the mouth, the hand gets nourishment. If the hand tries to enjoy independently of the body, the entirety of the body, it becomes weak and famished. So similarly, we must, if we want to be happy, we have to glorify Krishna and use things in His service. This is the proper way for us to be happy as parts and parcels of the Lord, as the fingers are nourished by supplying food to the stomach, to the mouth. So what are the other necessities? Other necessities include invoking the different names of the demigods by specific hymns and vows of recompense in accordance with the particular scriptures for specific purposes and by specific processes. Thus, Brahma says, I had to arrange all these necessary ingredients and paraphernalia of sacrifice from the personal bodily parts of the personality of Godhead. By invocation of the demigods' names, the ultimate goal, Vishnu, was gradually attained. And thus, compensation and ultimate offerings were complete. So, again, the point is being made by Lord Brahma himself that sacrifices end in the pleasure of Krishna. The reason why this has to be explained is that different sacrifices, they appear to be calling upon demigods in the Vedic tradition at times. But actually the ultimate purpose of all sacrifice, Yajna by Vishnu, is to please the Lord. Sacrifice, practically speaking, means Krishna, means Vishnu. The ingredients, the sacrifice, everything is none other than Krishna. But yet, by engaging in the sacrifice, Krishna is pleased. This is also explained in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And all the things that we use to please Krishna, the person who is offering the ingredients of the sacrifice, the utensils of the sacrifice, all these things regain their spiritual nature if they are used in Krishna's service. And that practically is what we want to do. We want to use the world in Krishna's service. And the world will attain a different quality. Those material things of the world will attain a different quality. So, this is how Brahma then explains what he did to perform the sacrifice. He obtained the ingredients. Where did he get the ingredients from? He got the ingredients from the bodily parts of the universal form. And now he will explain what the purpose of the sacrifice was. Brahma explains in text 28. Thus I created the ingredients and paraphernalia for offering sacrifice out of the parts of the body of the Supreme Lord, the enjoyer of the sacrifice, and I perform the sacrifice to satisfy the Lord. Now we'll read a purport. People in general are always anxious to have peace of mind or peace in the world. But they do not know how to achieve such a standard of peace in the world. Such peace in the world is obtainable by performance of sacrifice and by the practice of austerity. That's just the opposite of the way that people are thinking. People are not thinking of becoming happy, but does anyone think like that? That I'm going to be happy by performing sacrifice and austerity? Doing difficult things? No, how do people think I will become happy? By pouring as much sense gratification into my senses as possible. I want to continuously be seeing things and smelling things and tasting things and hearing things, touching things. And the more I can do this, surround myself with sense objects, then I'll be happy. Listen to what he's saying, Brahma is saying, or Prabhupada is saying in the purport. The peace in the world is not obtainable by this method, this selfish way of sense gratification, but rather by sacrifice. And that sacrifice and austerity, doing things for the pleasure of Krishna, is what is being recommended. In the Bhagavad Gita 5.29, the following prescription is recommended. Bhoktaram jagatapasam savaloka maheshwaram suridam savabhutanam gyatvamam shantim mritshati. The karma yogis know that the Supreme Lord is the factual enjoyer and maintainer of all sacrifices and of all of the austere life. They also know that the Lord is the ultimate proprietor of all the planets and is the factual friend of all living entities. Such knowledge gradually converts the karma yogis into pure devotees of the Lord through the association of unalloyed devotees, and thus they are able to be liberated from material bondage. Very interesting translation of that verse. We're trying continuously to manipulate the material world for our pleasure, and how frustrating it is. And we dream that our success will be later if and only we can just do this and do that and squeeze this and move this here and there and get this. We're dreaming that we'll be happy in that way. But actually no one is happy. There's the bluff of happiness and the anticipation of happiness. Practically speaking, people's happiness is anticipating what's going to happen in the future that will make them happy. And secondarily, trying to bluff so that their neighbors think that they are happy. That is the happiness in the material world. It's not very deep. Rather, happiness comes from relationship. And happiness comes when we fully place ourselves in a loving relationship with Krishna and depend upon Him and act for His pleasure, and then we are happy. And true culture is that culture that teaches us how to do this and encourages us in that direction to performing sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna. So Brahma, the original living being within the material world, taught us the way of sacrifice. So this is the first thing, practically speaking, that he did, perform sacrifice. So that indicates that we are continuously supposed to be sacrificing for another. It's so respected in this world, actually. If someone, that's like someone like like Mother Teresa, who just left the world just about a year ago, died a year ago. She was so popular and everyone was considered her a saint. Why? Because her life was sacrificed to help others. Anyone who gives their life, who devotes their life to help others, is so appreciated in this world. And on the other hand, someone who lives selfishly, not making sacrifice for others, even in this world, is considered miserly and horrible. Given no respect. Not appreciated. That's even in this world. And when someone lives for the pleasure of Krishna, then he, actually speaking, he has no worries. And she'll be right also. The whole thing. There's no worries because Krishna is in control and one is actually living. One is living in Krishna's hands. Prabhupada once said, living in Vrindavan is like living on the lap of Krishna. This is what the living entity is longing for. So Brahma, the original living being within the material world, taught us the way of sacrifice. The word sacrifice suggests dedication of one's own interests for satisfaction of the second person. That is the way of all activities. Every man is engaged in sacrificing his interests for others, either in the form of family, society, community, country, or the entire human society. But perfection, when we see this, when someone is elected to a government office, like prime minister or something, what does that mean? It means that he is supposed to sacrifice his own interests for the country. But what happens is people take those offices and not in the mood of sacrifice, but what is their mood? They take it in the mood of selfishness and they try to do so many things for their own selfish interest and they court. And then people become so discouraged. They become so cynical about the public figures. Because naturally, when someone is in the office, he's expected to perform sacrifice for the country and do what's the best for the country. So this performing sacrifice is natural and it gives respect. But the perfection of such sacrifice is attained when sacrifices are performed for the sake of the Supreme Person, the Lord. Because the Lord, why should we sacrifice for Him? Because He is the proprietor of everything. Because the Lord is the friend of all living creatures. That's the meaning of this Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Savaloka Maheshwaram. He is of all the planets, Savaloka. He is the Maha Isharam. He is the great controller of everything. And Bhaktaram Jagatapasam means that when sacrifices and austerities are to perform, they are to be performed for His pleasure. And He is Suridam Savabhutanam. He is the Surit, the very, very dear friend of every living entity living in everyone's heart. So sacrifices should be meant for Him. And because He is the maintainer and performer of sacrifice, as well as the supplier of the ingredients of sacrifice, it is He only and no one else who should be satisfied by all sacrifice. The whole world is engaged in sacrificing energy for advancement of learning, social upliftment, economic development, and plans for total improvement of the human condition. But no one is interested in sacrificing for the sake of the Lord, as it is advised in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, there is no peace in the world. If men at all want peace in the world, they must practice sacrifice in the interest of the supreme proprietor and friend of all. Maybe you can put on the tape.
In the Veda, did you say, Nitya Nityanam Chidana Chidana? unlimited living entities, unlimited eternals. But there is one another, one supreme eternal, supreme entity. What is the difference between these? The unlimited number, a plural number, and one singular number? That is also answered. Ega hi bhunam vidadhati kama. That singular number one entity is supplying the all the necessities of all the plural number entities. We are all plural number entities. The living entities, we are plural number. Nitya nityanam. This nityanam is plural. What is it? In Sanskrit. And he is nitya, he is one, singular number. Eka bhunam vidadhati kama. That one is supplying the necessities of all living. Don't you see how God is supplying all the necessities of birds, bees, and animals? Ourselves, we don't acknowledge. Because we are civilized, we are. We do not acknowledge. The birds, bees also do not acknowledge. But because they are birds and bees, so we are just becoming like birds and bees. Denying the existence of God, denying the authority of God. We are taking advantage. Vidadhati kama. If Krishna does not supply you this light, sunlight, in dark, but he does not charge anything, but because you are human being, you should try to repay, oh, Krishna is giving us so much facilities, let me render some service unto you. This is Krishna consciousness. This is to acknowledge, oh God, you are so kind, you are giving us so many things. So I have collected this fruit. It is your fruit. And now, still please accept. This is finished, your business. You are a great devotee. You are a great Krishna consciousness personality, and Krishna says, patram puspam phalam toyam jyomi bhaktya prajacchati. Krishna does not want you from you. Very nice thing, Krishna is complete in himself. He can produce many, many nice things. He is not begging from you, but still he is expecting something from you. Because he is supplying so many things to you. Is it not? Suppose if you have got a friend, you always give it. Don't you expect something? Oh, I give so many things to my friend. He does not offer me anything. Don't you feel out of love? Father, mother, they do so many things for the children. If the children do not do anything for the father and mother, are they not happy? Are they happy? No. They are not. My children, so, 100. Although he does not work, Krishna is full himself. But if we supply something to Krishna, Krishna's goods, Krishna's, to be supplied to Krishna. The food is not produced by you. Krishna says, patram puspam phalam toyam jyomi bhaktya prajacchati. Anyone who offers me a little fruit, a little water, a little lake, oil, sir. Tadaham asnami bhaktya upuridam. Because he has brought with devotional love, I accept. If Krishna accepts your offering, then your life becomes sublime. That is the precaution. Simply you should have to acknowledge we are getting so many facilities for Krishna. He is sitting in your heart, he is supplying all necessities, he is giving you sunlight, he is giving you moonlight, he is giving you rainy, seasonal rains, fruits, flowers, rains, and you are so ungrateful that you do not acknowledge. In your Christian Bible also, it is said, you go to church, oh God, give us our daily bread. That's all right. Krishna is supplying bread. Otherwise, where from you are getting bread? You cannot manufacture bread in the factory. you can manufacture some iron tools, that's all, not it ever. But you cannot manufacture nice grains. That is not possible. It is supplied by Krishna, Eko Bhavanam Vidudhatikam. So try to understand in this way. Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. Then your dormant relationship with God and Krishna will be revived. Chaitanya Mahadharam, Lord Chaitanya says, by revival of Krishna consciousness means the dirty things accumulated on our heart will be dissipated immediately. Then we shall see, oh, this is my position. I am Krishna and Krishna is mine.
So Lord Brahma created the ingredients and paraphernalia for offering the sacrifice out of the body of the Supreme Lord, and he performed the sacrifices to satisfy the Lord. And then Brahma continues speaking to Narada, my dear son, thereafter your nine brothers, who are the masters of living creatures, their names are not mentioned here, but they are Marichi, Atri, Pulasta, Pulaha, Kratu, the Pachetas and Daksha, Angiras, Vashishta and Bhrigu. These are the brothers of Narada. Perform the sacrifice. So Lord Brahma set it up, and these sages, nine sages, perform the sacrifice with proper rituals to satisfy both the manifested and non-manifested personalities, the demigods and the Lord. Thereafter, the Manus, the father of mankind, the great sages, the forefathers, the learned scholars, the Daityas, and mankind perform sacrifices meant to please the Supreme Lord. So this was the primal first sacrifice, and all sacrifices came later. And everyone performed sacrifices later. All the material manifestations of the universe are therefore situated in his, the Lord's, powerful material energies, which he accepts self-sufficiently, although he is eternally without affinity for the material mode. So everything, the point being, that everything is within Krishna, and everything should be offered to Krishna, but yet, Krishna himself, Lord Narayan, he is aloof, he is separate from everything. This is called achintya veda veda tattva. That it is bade and obeyed, different and the same as the Lord. Nothing is separate from him, but yet he is separate from everything. The material world exists resting upon his energy, but yet he himself is in Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world, carrying on wonderful pastimes. Vaharpidam natavaravappu kanayor kani karam. Krishna is walking in the forests of Braja with Balaram and the cowherd boys, looking so beautiful. This person, the Supreme Person, who universes, his expansion, Karana Daksha Vishnu, universes are emanating from him. He's walking in the forest, so beautiful, with a peacock feather on his head, with a blue lotus flower on his ear, his garments, Kanaka Kapisam, his garments, are the color of bright yellow and gold. Randram Venor, Adhaya Sudara Purayan Gopavrinda. He's walking in the forest with his cowherd boyfriends and filling up the holes of his flute with the nectar, nectarian sounds coming from his lotus-like lips. This beautiful Krishna is engaging in the sweetest leelas, pastimes, only playing. and by his energies, this entire material world is going on, and everything is situated in him. But his business is not working hard to make the material world go on. Like the Greek god Atlas holding up the world on his back, so heavy, so hard, such difficult work. Not like that. That is not God. He does all that by his energies. While he himself, his business is just being the bhokta, the enjoyer of wonderful pastimes with his devotees. And we are meant to be there with him. But we don't want to be with him. We want to be in the material world imitating God, wishing, making believe that we are the enjoyer, trying to use everything for ourselves and not being happy. So if we learn the art of sacrifice as taught by Lord Brahma, how to use everything, even though everything is Krishna, using everything in his service, then we become happy. So then, in the next, we'll read another till text 33. So he's continuing to describe, Lord Brahma is describing how Krishna, although he is everything, he is aloof from everything in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada's purport. The question. Thus answered, that was the question we read at the beginning, when Narada asked, what is the background of the material world? How is it created? How is it conserved? So how is the material world maintained? How is it controlled? So that question has been answered by Lord Brahma. Material actions and reactions, as the material scientists can superficially observe, are not basically ultimate truths in regard to creation, maintenance, and destruction. So even if someone says that the ultimate is the Big Bang, but where did who arranged the Big Bang to happen? It didn't just happen. So everything has a cause. So whatever the scientists know, they may know something, but they don't know the ultimate something. What is the ultimate cause? The material energy is a potency of the Lord which is displayed in time, excepting the three qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance in the forms of Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. So these are the energies by which Krishna does the work of the material world. The material energy thus works under the supreme spell of his lordship, although he is always transcendental to such material activities. Here's a nice example that Prabhupada gives. A rich man constructs a big house by spending his energy in the shape of resources. So when a rich man wants a big house, does he go and build it himself? No. He just takes his money, takes his energy, and has it built. And similarly, when it's time to destroy the big house, he does that by his resources. But the maintenance, or the living in the house, is always under his personal care. The Lord is the richest of the rich because he is always fully complete in six opulences. Therefore, he is not required to do anything personally. But everything in the material world is carried out by his wishes and directions. Therefore, the entire material manifestation is situated in Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonal conception of the Supreme Truth, is due to lack of knowledge only. And this fact is clearly explained by Brahmaji, who is supposed to be the creator of the universal affairs. Brahmaji is the highest authority in Vedic wisdom, and his assertion in this connection is therefore the supreme information. So he is saying that Narayane Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, everything is situated within him by his energy, and it is all being done by God. We are not the controllers, the maintainers of this world. It is Krishna, and we should therefore use everything in his service. And he says, by his will, by the Lord's will, I create Brahma says, Lord Shiva destroys, and he himself and his eternal form as the personality of Godhead maintains everything. He is the powerful controller of these three energies. So this, he's answering the questions of Narada. Who is the creator? Who is the maintainer? Who is the enjoyer? And then finally, this verse sums up Brahma's reply to Narada's questions as to the who is the, what is the identity of the person who is the soul of the universe, and that is Bhagavan. My dear son, whatever you've inquired from me, I have thus explained unto you. And you must know for certain that whatever there is, either as the cause or the effect, both in the material or spiritual world, is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, thank you very much. So that's the point that Brahma is making here about this material world, that it is Krishna who everything is dependent upon. It is Krishna. And therefore, as Prabhupada explained on that tape segment, we should see that Krishna is giving us everything. He's giving us our strength, our abilities, the air we breathe, the water we drink, everything. He's giving us that. And we should do some service, something out of affection, out of gratitude, we should do some service for him. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Describes it's the universal form, the universe. It all comes from the Mahatattva, and it takes the consciousness. It is the collective consciousness of all the living entities, and the living entities, individual living entities, are given a small portion of consciousness, it's material consciousness. It's coming from the universal form, and not from the Mahatattva, which is Krishna's external energy. By the way, I saw a verse from the third canto that explained that those demigods we heard about yesterday who were offering the prayers, they're regular old demigods, meaning that they have material bodies, etc. So it describes them like that. And then I remembered, as we had said, from the combination of the mode of goodness with the mode of goodness with the false ego, then that demigods are created, some demigods. Putting all the pieces together. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam.